Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 251. The doing more than one type of intro for one type of thing is going to eventually fuck me. Episode. I was sitting here because I'm doing like, what's up, people? Bruce McGee here, I think, for my YouTube videos. And I want them to be different because they're different things. Mm-hmm. But yet my brain's not good enough to remember things from minute to minute anymore. Joining me this week, as you can hear, he's the only one. It's John.
As in, everyone can hear my bloody phone just text message in. So from what I understand now, if apparently if your phone goes off while you're doing a podcast and you don't edit it out, you owe everybody who's listening a beer. So anybody who's listening, except for Roger, if I meet up with you, I will buy you a beer.
Here's the funny thing. I can't hear it. I couldn't hear it. With this mic, because it picks up so many sounds over a headset, I'm finally just going to get... I don't like ordering stuff when it's only like $5.10. Even if I get it like free with Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. I have this thing. I just have this stigma, but I'm so tired of editing out my noisy keyboard and mouse that I'm going to get a pop filter just to see if that alleviates it. And I said in a video that's coming up on YouTube here next week, I think, I use these cheaper keyboards and mice because I still have temper issues. I throw them. I don't throw them on the ground. I don't stomp on them. I have a bed right behind me, so I throw them at that. But I'm not spending the Uber bucks for Razer equipment when I still need outlets for my temper that's childish. And I know it's childish, but it doesn't stop it. Sometimes. It's very rare it happens these days, but I don't feel I ever behave good enough to afford good keyboard and mice. And quite honestly, until they start getting older and noisier, I like Logitech. So, But no, I didn't hear it in the one headphone.
Yeah. Well, it was loud as a bell to me. So I don't know what the audience at home hears, but if you did hear it, Twitter me at John Kehoe and let me know that you actually exist, people.
Well, it's surprising to me how much more these stand microphones pick up versus a headset.
Yeah.
There have been times on the show where things have been going on around me when I had a headset on, and I thought, sure as shit, that's going to pick up. And it didn't. Mm-hmm. And so you get comfortable with what it doesn't pick up, and then you switch to something like this, which I still vastly prefer over a headset. But it picks up so much more, it's just getting used to what it picks up and what it doesn't. I don't know. I've got space in my office. I should really look into getting some kind of suspended stand or boom arm, that comes over the top of my monitor so that it can be a little further away from me. Maybe not pick up as much of the goings on the desktop surface. Yeah, where is my phone? Oh, it's right there. I always use... I have my phone on silent like 95% of the time. I don't think it's something you have to do for the podcast, but what I'm trying to say is I get lucky in that my phone's on silent 95% of the time anyway. I'll have the ringer on when I'm at work, but I do so much recording and editing and I'm talking to people on Skype. And I just don't like being distracted by my phone. I see it if it goes off, and vibrate.
Yeah.
So it's never that far out of my line of eyesight. I also have a phone that's for the family business office stuff in here as well, usually. So if they can't get me on that, on my cell phone, they usually start calling on that one. And then it's down to, is it really important enough for me to actually answer the phone, or are you just being a pain in the ass?
Yeah.
Type stuff. One thing I want to talk about, John, before I got into GTA 5, and since it's just John and I, we're going to record for a while, and whatever we get. That's actually probably going to become the mantra of this podcast. Whatever we get. And actually, let's do this two-piece. Let's do TV, and then let's do games, because you want to talk about Blind Guy. I watched a documentary on Netflix. And if you like kind of horror stuff, if you like kind of freaky stuff, like urban legends and stuff, There's a documentary on there right now. I don't know if it's on the UK Netflix, Canadian Netflix. I'm sorry, people. I'm not that put together to look up all the different regions. But on the US Netflix, at least, it's called Killer Legends. And what these guys did was they took a look at urban legends and tried to see if there was any tangible connection to them at all. And at first, I thought this was going to be one of those documentaries where, oh, all urban legends are real and people are just, the government and black helicopters are denying the truth. Because believe me, those exist on Netflix too. And the only way I watch those kind is if they're funny. And I don't mean laughing with them, I mean laughing at them. You know, like the Ancient Aliens guy. Think along those lines. Mm-hmm. But this one was really damn cool. They took like four urban legends, I want to say, in different parts of the country. I want to say like New York, Texas, somewhere in the Midwest, and in Chicago or Illinois. And they just looked at, is there anything that connects these urban legends? And in some cases it did. It made sense. In other cases it didn't. And they stated that. They were the type of documentary people I like. They didn't seem to have an answer that they were looking for facts for or to fit their point of view. They just seemed really interested in urban legends, which I love urban legends and creepypastas. Who cares if it's real or not? They're just cool. Mm-hmm. The only thing I will caution you on, and I'm speaking from experience here, the last urban legend they go after is killer clowns. I almost had to shut it off. I don't like clowns.
You don't like clowns. No, you don't.
And the first 30 seconds of the damn thing was clips from Stephen King's It. And it's like, what? I watched it in two sittings. I was too tired to finish watching it the first night. So I watched like two or maybe two and a half of the legends the first night, right? And so I was still awake and had coffee too late, probably, or something to that effect. And it was like 11:30, getting close to midnight when I sat down to watch it. And the header, the like black screen header was, why aren't you any fun anymore? Da 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 da. And I'm like, and then they just immediately go into clips of Stephen King's It, and I'm like, fuck. I really want to know what they say about this killer clown legend, but I'm not gonna be able to hang with this. If they're going to continue to intersperse shit that made me crap my pants as a kid and almost made me crap my pants laying in bed. So, you know, but honestly, it was a little creepy, not nightmare inducing. Although there's very little that I watch or view that gives me nightmares at this point that I can think of. It probably happens. Come on, we're all human. But it was, even that was actually pretty interesting. And they had an easy in the Chicago area to do that with John Wayne Gacy, mm-hmm. You know, who was a party clown and one of the creepiest looking party clowns you've ever seen. If you've ever seen pictures of him when he was a clown, I mean, Gacy had a lot more to him than that. But anyway, if you like urban legends, if you like that kind of stuff, I thought this was a really good, well-done documentary that deserves some love. I kind of like to see him do more of these. I mean, that film was, I want to say it was probably 90 minutes or more, which is usually more than a lot of people want to watch on Netflix if it's not a movie. Me too. But the nice thing about documentaries is I found that I can split them up into a couple viewings, whereas movies, I generally don't enjoy movies as much if I do that. It's why when Glacinator rightfully gives me crap about movies I haven't seen that are on Netflix, and I guess you'd probably have too, John, that's kind of why I don't. Every time I've tried to watch a movie in a couple sittings, if I get too tired and shut it off, I just never find it entertaining. It just never feels like it does when I sit through an entire movie.
Yeah, it depends on what I'm watching.
But that does play a part.
You know, if it's a comedy and a little bit light, and you kind of get the film is in kind of segments, it's a little bit easier than trying to follow a drama over multiple sittings. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you bring that up because that is a good caveat. Yeah, if it's something lighter, then yeah, I probably can and do watch it in a couple sittings.
Or something that I've seen before, you know.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, there's movies I'll pick up like on Netflix and go, oh, I didn't really like the first 20 minutes of that, but after 20 minutes it was funnier than hell or it got really good.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do that with new movies. I know people that do, but I won't do that with new movies. I will watch a movie for the first time entire way through. Unless it's just so god awful, I'm shutting it off anyway. But, you know, I won't, like, if I read somewhere that if you skip 20 minutes in, you don't miss anything, and I'm impatient and don't have a lot of time to begin with, but I'm not that impatient. I know people that do that, though. Oh, this movie doesn't tell you much for 20 minutes, and here's the synopsis, so fast forward to 20 minutes in. And it's like, really? That doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm going to watch a movie, I'm watching it for the whole movie.
Watching the movie, yeah. I agree.
So, but yeah, it's called Killing Legends. It's on Netflix. You can probably get it other places. Probably Amazon, those other places. If you look it up on Google, I'll put the name in the post that I make with the show. I'm glad I remembered it because when I finished watching it on Monday, I was like, yeah, I want to talk about this on the podcast, and then I went to finish watching another documentary before we started the show tonight, which was actually on the Hindenburg.
Mm-hmm.
Not as good. Or, well, I mean, it was good, but it was more history. But it was another one I wanted to watch because I have a hard time watching things where there's potential for people to be on fire. Has always freaked me out. And it was a little graphic, but not bad. But it was also very interesting, the process of at least the scientific determination of what brought the Hindenburg down.
Yeah.
We're never in a bazillion years going to know what exactly happened, but at least the airship's builder, the theory he put forth, and I think it's the first time I've ever seen it presented that way, made sense. But anyways, I saw Killing Legends. Have they changed the Canadian Netflix to like where what you've been watching is now buried?
Oh, you mean like the menu, you mean?
No. Like, you know the continue viewing bar? Or the continue viewing... For some reason now on US Netflix, that's like, you have to like swipe down like a couple three. And it used to be right at the top.
Yeah, no, I think it's still at the top for me.
That's bullshit. They need to stop that crap. And guess what? Guess what comes up on my Netflix account every time? It's a segue. It's almost a professional one if I hadn't just given it away. Every bloody time the banner is Daredevil.
Yeah. It's quite something how much buzz there's going on. Like whoever's doing the advertising campaign is doing well, because in my Twitter feed, I've got sponsored Daredevil things like all the time going through my Twitter feed these days, it seems like.
Yeah, I did notice a couple. Like, because I've spent so much time on this show, and maybe in a couple YouTube videos, did that video get posted? Because Agent K doesn't like it any better than I do. I don't think that one ever did because we had too many audio issues. There was a YouTube video or a recording I made where he and I spent a good 30 minutes shredding him to pieces. Actually, that might have just been us playing. That was probably the same time that he brought up that director guy that I pointed Glaze to his YouTube channel, whose name, again, I can't remember now. But, again, all I'm going to say is the same thing I said last week. He's not my speed, but it seems like it's really going well. You get that many people on the internet to agree on something, there's got to be something good going on. If nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts now that you've gotten into it a little more?
Well, I mean, last week we had watched, I think, three episodes, and now we're another three episodes in, maybe even four, I think. We're about halfway through. And so the introduction to the Kingpin has happened, and his breadth of power and his personality has kind of come across much better. He's almost like a likable guy for a while there, and again, when he lashes out at something. You kind of get the idea, how brutal he is. But in the last few episodes, and I won't get into too much spoilers, but Daredevil kind of gets himself into a bad situation, and we find out how many people are actually under the Kingpin's thumb and who's working for him and stuff, and just how much of an uphill battle Daredevil has. So, we've really been enjoying it. It's certainly on ramping up to a crescendo, and I like that. But it's not rushing to get there either. Which I think I mentioned last week, I do like how this show is taking its time. Even though it's only a 13 episode series, there's no rush. Like the fight scenes and stuff, there's no rush. There's no, they're letting people talk. There's not just like stilted, quick one liner dialogue. They're actually having conversations and saying something important. Most times. So, it's not like the greatest show I've ever seen in my life. But it's really, really good, it's in stark contrast to the other show that I wanted to just briefly mention that we've been watching on Netflix. Since we're talking about what we've been watching, Wanda has been watching the entire run of That 70s Show on Netflix, and she's currently on the last season, the infamous season 8, I stopped watching that show, I would say, probably after around season 5 or 6. So some of this stuff is fresh for me. I don't watch it as religiously as she does, but when it's on, I'll sit there at the breakfast table or whatever and watch it with her. But I tell you, season 8 is the worst bit of television I've probably ever seen. Like, it's not, it's a strong statement, but it's bad. Like, this is the season after Eric Foreman left and Ashton Kutcher's character, Kelso and Eric have both left the show, so the show is now revolving around the other characters and a new character who, for people who are familiar with The Simpsons, is definitely the Poochie of this show. I don't even remember his name because I don't want. He's so terrible. I know he's Seth Meyers, that actor, the comedian. It's his little brother, apparently. I read someone say, and he's terrible. He's basically the best description I read of him was that if they took Eric and Kelso's characters, put them in a blender with. Like with a big pile of lame sauce and let him sit in a cup of milk cream for about 3 weeks just so it would sour. as about how likable this guy is. He's one thing we can say about the 70s show and based on earlier episodes that the character the actors pretty well got the characters right away and made them kind of funny and unique. And I will say after a couple of seasons, I think season 3 or 4, I said this on Twitter or Facebook, that pretty well everyone has become a sociopath because they become completely one-dimensional, and the things they say to each other are things that you would never say to another person. Like the Fez, he goes from awkward, sexually repressed to all he talks about is the most vile sexual things. And Kelso says the stupidest things, completely unaware of any kind of social structure or just behaving in regular society. Like, you become very one-dimensional and slowly become more and more unlikable. Especially now, in season 7 was kind of rough, but 8 is just bad, bad, bad. And the only reason why we're watching it is because neither of us had watched it before. On the original run, and we just are kind of curious to see how bad it gets and where the show finally ends up. But the first couple seasons we were watching together, like we were laughing out loud still. Even though I watched them back when I was a bit younger, and it was a good show. I mean, it was a success. It was one of Fox's flagship shows there for a while. But this season is just like both of us are just watching it, looking at each other, going, "Somebody stabbed this guy." Oh, just terrible. But I still like Foreman. I still Red Foreman, and I like Tommy Chong's character, and you know, there's still some glimmers of hope in there, but otherwise, it's one of those shows that's stuck around too long. Did you watch that show?
I watched like the first two seasons, and then it didn't appeal to me anymore.
Yeah,
I never thought the writing was that strong to begin with, and I always thought that they could have made better use of some of the acting talent they had. I mean, none of those are top shelf actors, but even in her younger days, Mila Kunis is a pretty damn good actress, as is Laura Prepon, and Kutcher's a good actor for the right role. He's another Vince Vaughn in my mind. He's, you know, you put him in the right role, he's excellent. I mean, they're all above average actors, but it just wore on me. I think the bloopers are actually funnier than the damn show.
Well, Kutcher as Kelso is pretty terrific at times, but
You know,
like the early stuff. I mean, and to tell you the truth, as we watched the early seasons, an awful lot of the stuff that I have memories of happened in the first two seasons, and which kind of maybe telling about, you know, how much more memorable they were. Like that, when the stuff where Kelso is kind of chasing after Eric's sister, and you know, she's saying things to him in regular conversation, and he takes it completely the wrong way, like that she's flirting with him and stuff. Like some of that's, and how awkward he is around that is pretty good. But now, all, you know, up until season 8 where he's gone, is all about, you know, being good looking and stupid, and how that's more important than anything else. And he never changes. Like he doesn't learn a thing. You know, nobody changes at all. That it's become more one-dimensional.
Well, that I think is probably a better accurate or a better summation of my problem with it. All the characters were one-dimensional, and you had acting talent that could make them more than that.
Yeah,
and it's a sitcom, and it's on Fox. Now, this has nothing to do with politics. Leave Fox News out of this. Just Fox has always just been bad. Not again, leave your fucking politics at the door. It just, they've just always been like about ratings and numbers and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch their sports broadcasting, you watch their network their primetime television. It's all about cheap gags and you know, ratings numbers, and that's it. I about have to, you know, dismember my eardrums to watch playoff anything on Fox's sports stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I don't think it has a damn thing to do with Rupert Murdoch and all that leftist super conspiracy bullshit. You know, because to me, their news disaster is a completely separate package. I just always think it's been the people that Murdoch's put in charge of it. And that, again, I guess, does directly relate to Murdoch being an old rich fud who doesn't get it, you know. But, so, I'll lose interest on that if you're not writing good one-dimensional gags. And that set of writers didn't seem to after about the first season and a half.
Yeah.
You know, you can make fun of the one nerds love to rage against because it hits too close to home and they just lie out their ass all the time.
Big Bang.
Right. Those characters are fairly one-dimensional, but they write good gags.
Yeah.
You know, they write... I mean, it's tapered off like any other show, too, but first five seasons, they write really exceptional gags. You know? And at this point, it should become painfully clear that I'm a cynical prick that doesn't trust much. I, for the life of me, can't believe that three-quarters of the hate directed at that show is people feeling self-conscious and the other half just piling on because it's a cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my example of that would be things like The 70s Show and How I Met Your Mother. Although, How I Met Your Mother was more broad, for sure. You gotta be when you have Neil Patrick Harris, for fuck's sake. Dude's an acting talent and a half, but it's still basically the same concept. Situational comedy. and nerds love those other two, or at least a good portion of them do. So, you know, what's the missing point of the equation here that causes them to glom onto one and not the other? And generally, it tends to be the hive mind anymore. But that's always been, again, that's why I went on that tangent, that's always been Fox's thing. Just keep writing gags. Yeah. You know, I think CBS did that with Two and a Half Men. Apparently, they stole a bunch of executives from Fox. No, I don't know if they did. I was being sarcastic. I was being smartass. Sorry. It sure seems like it, though, yeah. with some of their comedies. But I don't know. I think I'm getting so cynical and jaded that I don't want to have seen it before. That wasn't even English. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't allow myself to just enjoy it for what it is in some cases. Mm-hmm. And so if I've seen a similar gag on a similar show, I'm going to be much harder on it. And what's funny about that, at least in my case, is if that's how I feel internally, a lot of times I'll just dampen it down and not be that mean. It works the same way in video games. That's why I don't review them. I'd rather pick what I'm going to rant at. Let me tell you what, if I so wanted to, or so chose, I could rant on every episode of the show we do, more than likely, if I wanted to waste the energy to get upset about something, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm glad you like Daredevil. I mean, if it's good, if it's putting out a good product, then good.
Yeah.
That's totally awesome. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I have to admit, John, I mean, as much as I'll always make fun of Affleck's Daredevil, don't ever think that's going away. If there's a good joke there at some point down the line, it will happen for the comedy people, or attempted comedy, if nothing else. But I am starting to see that I want to take my attitude to a point into more of a direction of, if it's not for me and it's not egregious, then say that. We have enough to make comedy jokes out of already. You know, and we're getting closer to E3. I'm sure some of the name redacteds will start popping off with stupidity for me to be distracted by, like, shiny tinfoil. You know, so things like Daredevil, I still 100% stand behind every last nasty joke I made in previous shows. But that doesn't mean I can't change my tone toward it. Especially, again, beating the dead horse, if they're producing good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where you become an unclever hipster prick is when they're producing good stuff and you still don't recognize it. At least I think so.
That's right. Yep.
So, as video game I did this, video games I did this week, well, actually, yesterday and today, I played like 37 different games because I'm trying to find stuff to do on YouTube that I haven't played, or I haven't played in a long time, and I'm not finding anything that I'm getting into. It's driving me bonkers, but I think I played like 8 games that I either haven't played in a really long time or haven't played at all. And nothing is, I mean, I've got footage for enough videos for like the next 3 weeks, just from stuff Kay Glace and I have done, Kay and I did by ourselves, stuff I've done on my own. But the Minecraft series is just kind of ground to a halt. I can't find anything else fun to do. And it's like, why keep doing this if I'm not having fun playing it? You know, I know there's a couple of people that like watching it, and it's like, I could keep doing it, but I'm not having fun doing this. So, why do I want to? But anyway, the main game I played the last 2 weeks has been GTA 5. And last night, I finished the quote-unquote single-player missions. What's interesting about that is I knew what the outcome was going to be, or roughly what the outcome was going to be. And people aren't necessarily wrong that the whole storyline's filled with cliche. But here's what I can tell you. I was asked to make a choice at the end of the game. A choice that would have repercussions. And I know for a fact that if I'm not interested in a game and I'm just trying to finish it to get on to something else, that choice is not going to be difficult for me to make. or I'm not going to have to think about it for very long. I actually had to sit down and think about this choice for a few minutes before I made it. So, cliched or not, over stereotypes or not, it definitely at least got to me to such an extent that I had to think about what I was going to do before I did it. The funny thing is my second choice, or what I would call my second choice, the other one that was leading, was second highest vote getter in what should I pick, has merit to go through. I just don't know if I want to do it right again on top of each other. You know, one right after the other. Which tells me that while the game's really good single player wise, it's not as good as, say, like, you know, pick any of the games I babbled about endlessly. Like Red Dead. I played Red Dead. I played two campaigns of Red Dead right in a row. Seeing if any choices I made were different. GTA 5, I can see myself waiting a few months. But at the same time, I definitely will play it again. You know, I want to see what that... And actually, I guess it had enough of an effect if I hadn't fucked up my save. I'd have gone back and done it just to see which was better. But again, in a way, I'm kind of glad I just made one choice. And you know, I've still got some side stuff to do. Obviously, I've got online to do. You know, but it I already feel like I've gotten easily $45 out of my $60 for it. It runs decently on my middle of the road computer. I even moved it up to full 1920x1080 in it. Runs fine. Doesn't look all that different because anymore resolution isn't everything. You know, it's shadows and shading and all this other stuff. So I can't ask for much more than that.
So did you do any of the raids? Are the raids, or the heists, I mean, are the heists multiplayer only or single player only?
Well, hopefully people won't think this is a spoiler, but you do heists as you progress through the single player.
Oh, okay. I heard they were really good. Is that true?
Yeah, what I liked about them was they gave you two options, that which means I could play through again and go the opposite direction I went the first time. They give you like the smart safe option, and then they give you this stupid option, the just go in guns blazing, which may come as a surprise to our audience and possibly you, John, but I actually pick the safe option every time, mostly because I know I'm not great with Rockstar's combat controls and their sad excuse for a crosshair, you know, little tiny dot. That's not very accurate, so I knew that trying to gun it out was not always going to be. And I kind of like that. It's not really a stealth mechanic, per se. Mm-hmm. But the more you could sneak in, or the more clever you could be about getting to people, or getting to objectives, the better off you are. One side mission I did with Franklin, one of the three main characters, the first time I just went like right up the middle, you know, like a football play. And I got pounded. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is open world, damn it. Has Arma 3 taught you nothing about flanking, you idiot? Not that flanking ever works for me. I've got a YouTube video coming up on Monday that shows that abundantly clear. Let's be sneaky about this. And so I got a little sneaky about it. I used a silenced pistol. Shot some dudes in the head. Which, again, with Rockstar's tiny dot, it isn't easy. At least not for me. And slipped in. I mean, I still had a lot of that whole full guns blazing combat to do as I went up this building to get to my main objective. Mm-hmm. But the first part was eliminated. And even when I looked back over it after I finished the mission, I don't think there was any way to really be super sneaky about it. The guys were too close, and they programmed the AI just well enough that, like, if you shoot one dude and he falls down, the other guy's gonna notice it, even if it's silenced. You know, like, they're not... You know, on some games, I think some of the Metal Gear Solid games suffered from this. I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I know games have suffered from this. Like, where you shoot a guy and the other guy's facing him, and he just goes about his business, mm-hmm. even though his buddy just fell over with a melon head. You know, like he's got a canoe in the center of his brain now. Oh, Bob's taking a nap. I'll wander this way. I mean, lazy fucker like me loves those kind of games. It's like, yes, you're stupid. Let's keep going. But that's the thing. It's just like I said last week. I got frustrated with it. I think I only, like, skipped a few times. Like, you know, you die too many times, you can skip a section. I think I only did that twice. And honestly, once I realized how close I was last night, I wanted to have it finished for the show. So that I could say, hey, I finished it. This is what I think. I mean, within basically, what, 9 days, 10 days of it launching, which is unheard of for me with video games. I don't even think our BioShock spoiler cast was that fast. And we both got it at launch. You know, so the heist online, it's really going to come down to, do you have a full group of people you know?
Right.
Because with heist and single player, you could switch between the three characters. And in some cases, you have to. But online, you have to have other players. As far as I know, I haven't done any of them yet. That's next. Not sure if this weekend, but at some point here in the next week, I'll brave online and see what's like. But I think it adds to the game. And something Glacinator said, you know, about the random events.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, that counts towards your completion percentage. I had to do 16 of them, I think, total is what the game said. And I was just doing them because I wanted to. But those pop up all the time, and they're all kind of different. Like, I got asked for a ride by a guy, and he pulled me out of, you know, they told, like, oh, go here. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, not that one. Well, that one, the guy tried to steal my car, and I killed him. But another one was like, hey, my buddy Bob fell over. Could you come help him? And you're like, go into this alley. Again, it's where being a cynical, jaded asshole like I am. I'm like, alley. Guy who acts like he's really drunk. There's going to be dudes in the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had an RPG. And I didn't kill myself for once. The only problem with close-up RPGs, you tend to kill yourself as much as you do other people. But there were like four of them waiting for me, and I just got a step or two back far enough that I just blew them up with an RPG. And the thing about those that's nice, and actually I guess a little surprising, Rockstar, you don't get in trouble with the cops for that one. Like if a random event, which starts as a blue dot, shows up. I chased a guy on a motorcycle for probably a mile, shooting at him from a car with a submachine gun, and there's cops going the other way, not paying any attention. So it was coded so that those events don't trip police like everything else does. And generally, I started getting to the point where I just started returning everybody's stuff, because at one point I had enough money on each of my characters that like $2,000 wasn't going to be that big a deal. So just return it and call it a day. And I don't think it had any measurable benefit to your character, but I'm happy that I took the gamble. It's been a great game. I'm sure it's going to be fun online. I keep nagging at Kay. I do a little bit, but I can't really nag him too much because he already has it on PS4. And so, although I'd say that the PC does bring other aspects to it that even the new gen consoles aren't going to be able to.
Well, you'll be able to use the mods and stuff, right?
Yeah, actually, let me add that on here, and then you can go into what you've been playing, and we'll talk about the other thing when you're done with that. I had forgotten, an Agent K and then a story reminded me that GTA 4 never had official mod support. So while I still think that modders should be extremely careful and that Rockstar is kind of a bunch of jackasses for not supporting mods, I want to temper down my comments from last week. I wasn't necessarily correct or being fair there because I had forgotten or just never knew that they've never really been all that supportive of mods. I want to say it's kind of a reaction to the whole hot coffee mess.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have even talked about that one time on the show. There's a glimmer of something that tells me maybe we did. The funny thing about that is one of the side missions you do, you're supposed to photograph a celebrity. And at that time, the female celebrity is going to town with a male dude, full on. And if I recall right, all hot coffee did was make people naked. Rockstar in the game, in their games themselves, have gone so far beyond that. In some senses, that why they're worried about mods, I don't know. But anyways, I just wanted to kind of tag that on. Actually, we got another topic about mods. In fact, I'll throw up the story to you now. I should have done this before. We won't get into it right at the moment, but you can have the link for when we talk about it. But anyways, what have you been doing this week in the video game realm?
In the video game realm, well, hot off the presses, I just, before the show, was playing some of the new Mario Kart 8 DLC, which is a new set of two new sets of tracks with new characters and new costumes and all that stuff. I think the main theme of the game of the set, or the, I don't mean theme, but the selling point of these are Animal Crossing characters, and one of the cups is an Animal Crossing cup with a stage at the end, kind of like what they did with the Zelda one on the last DLC pack. There's not much more I could say other than it continues to be high quality levels. The music is great. That Animal Crossing level is pretty gorgeous, actually. I wouldn't mind seeing a 3D Animal Crossing, to tell you the truth, where you could walk through the town rather than top-down view. It was pretty cool, I have to admit. Though, one strange thing that I noticed that happened to me is that I didn't get the 200cc... I got the update, but I'm not getting 200cc in my Grand Prix for some reason, even though I can find it in my, not time trials, but like one-on-one, like the single race stuff. But apparently my cousin Matt was telling me that he has 200cc Grand Prix, so I don't know if something went wrong with my update, or if I need to reboot my Wii U, or re-download the update. I have no idea, but... So I can't really comment on 200cc because I haven't done it yet. But the new tracks are good. I got to scan my Mega Man amiibo, and now I have a Mega Man costume for my Mii in the game. And the other characters are the Dry Bones Bowser and the Yellow Dog from Animal Crossing, who works in, I believe she works in the town hall. And then the other character, what was it? Who was it? Bear with me. Oh, it's just three. Dry Bones and of course the villager from Animal Crossing is the other one. And you can be a boy or a girl. Your choice. And so yeah, it's pretty good. New cars, new bikes. It was a pretty big pack, actually. The update was like 250 megs, and the actual DLC itself was like almost a gig. And the previous one was almost a gig too. Like, they're pretty massive files, especially for a system that doesn't pride itself on that much available space on board without getting that the extra hard drive that I did. So I'm happy that they have the DLC, and because I think it's going to keep, as much as Nintendo is good at creating games that are kind of evergreen, that last a long time in terms of people playing it, like Mario Kart and Smash Brothers and stuff. Delving into the realm of DLC for them, I think, is a great way to cement them as evergreen titles for the duration of the console lifetime. They seem to be pricing things and making high quality stuff. No horse armor. This is some real deal DLC. So. It's good.
Question.
Yeah.
Did we talk about the fact of how much bigger file sizes and games they're getting space-wise?
Probably. I don't know if we chose it as a topic, but we certainly have mentioned it on occasion. Like yeah, even like arcade titles from Xbox Live are like there used to be a cap on them at one time, I remember, and now an arcade title could be a couple of gigs.
Grand Theft Auto V was 60 gigs.
60 gigs.
Yeah, 59.1 or something like that, so 60 gigs. Now, according to AJK, who would know this, and I trust him and I believe him, except I don't think I ever explained the caveat to him well enough. I'm surprised I haven't pissed him off, but we were just talking on the phone a minute ago, so I'm going to assume he's not that angry. He says that there's so much more to do with models and resources and this and that, that there's been no breakthrough to compress all that and make it so that the file sizes go down. Mm-hmm. And I tend to believe he's right. He works in the bloody industry. Here's the thing, though. Anytime you have that opportunity, I'm always going to be suspicious of some devs and some companies getting fucking lazy. And rather than trying to optimize and compress as many files and models and processes as they can, they just let it get massive because there is some validity to why it's so massive, a reasonable excuse they can trot out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little concerned that we're going to have to go through a period where file sizes are just going to keep spiraling out of control, which in turn will make somebody come up with a process to kind of halt it. But how many gamers are going to be left out because of it? The Wii U being a great example. I mean, even for me, now I'm contemplating getting another 2 terabyte drive. I mean, I've got a 1 terabyte for my main OS drive, but just to keep games, I mean, it's pretty simple since I play on Steam a lot anymore to just take games off and re-download them.
Yeah.
But not everybody has the awesome internet connection I have, and that's not right.
People have caps and people have...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any caps. No limits, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's quite something how... And these updates, the whole releasing a game, and it was a day one patch that's like a couple of gigs. this is crazy to me, right?
I think that gamers are just gonna have to bear with it. I mean, there's an MMO coming out, and I may have mentioned this on the show before. I apologize. I'm trying to remember what the hell. Oh, Star Citizen. The one that everybody made fun of for being a money generator on Kickstarter, and it actually looks like it's going to become a good product, but they're claiming it's going to be 100 gigs. And even if I've got a 2 terabyte backup drive, I'm just unwilling to believe that it's really going to take that much, that we've made that big a leap in modeling and world sizes and all this, that, and the other thing in three or four years or 5 years. It smells fishy to me. Having now played Grand Theft Auto, that makes sense. It makes sense if you see the amount of shit going on and the size of the map. Mm. But anything above, say, 40 to 60 is always going to get my suspicion. Always. And I mean, Star Citizen, from the videos I've seen of it, looks really detailed. But again, I think it's time that game developers start looking into methods of making it look really good and bringing it down some, because not only for PC gamers, I mean, it cost me on a good day $65-$70 to get a 2 terabyte secondary drive. Whoopee. That don't work so well, because the other thing that I see coming is consoles have never been storage friendly in any way, shape, or form. And as console gamers want console games that look more like PC, that means console games are going to require more hard drive space, and it isn't plug and play necessarily to add hard drive space to consoles. it sure as hell isn't going to be as cheap as it is for a PC gamer, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And that'll probably be what causes there to be a solution to the problem, is actually probably console gaming versus PC. You know, because every person I've seen that has played GTA 5, that also played it on either Xbox One or PS4, hands down, it looks better on PC. It's like, Sony and Microsoft have done the best they can do to make the PS4 and the Xbox One look as great as it does, and there's no denying that the PS4 does put out better resolutions and things, slightly, to my mind, but it's nothing compared to what PC can do still. I mean, there's people playing Grand Theft Auto 5 on 4K. Mm-hmm. Even if I had the money, I just have no desire for that yet. It just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
1920 by 1080, 60 frames per second. Everything's set to Uber. I'd like to have that. But anything past that, I just don't see the point. So, yeah. Okay, so you also played what? Toad?
Captain yeah. Toad? Yeah, last week I took advantage of the last day of the eShop sale for Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. It was 30% off, so I picked that up and have been playing that a bit. And Captain Toad is, well, it's a full version game, an expanded version of the types of levels that were found in the Super Mario 3D World, where on the map you'd see a floating level where Captain Toad, you'd have to guide him around and find all the stars. Well, this game takes that concept and makes it bigger throws in more abilities, more challenges. So far, I think I've finished 10 levels. It's not particularly hard, but it's hard. It's hard to deny that the charm and the music and the you know, it's a pretty game too. So I'm sure later on it'll get even tougher. But you know, it's a great game. When I was playing 3D World, I remember some of my very early comments in the game were that, you know, they could definitely do DLC levels of these Captain Toad levels because they're done so well and self-contained, this little one stage puzzles, and sure enough, you know, here's the game, and it's the kind of thing that, you know, even Peter can get his head wrapped around. It's just like get Toad to walk around this little mini map of Mario themed you know, stuff. I don't know, like the enemies are, you know, there's Bullet Bills and there's spiders and Goombas and Shy Guys, you know, so it's kind of grabbing characters and stuff from different Mario games. I like the little bit of emphasis on Super Mario 2 that you don't often see. They had a bit of that back in 3D World with where you could play as any of the four characters from Mario 2. And this one, Toad, he doesn't have very many weapons because you're just walking around and not very quickly at that. But you know, you can pull turnips out of the ground and throw them the way Toad would in Mario 2. And with the Shy Guys and stuff, it's welcome stuff. I keep wishing they'd go back to that aesthetic for a full fledged game of Mario 2. Just, you know, just go balls to the wall with it and expand and just hit it again. Even though, you know, Mario 2 is known for being kind of the black sheep of the black sheep. That's very strong. It's aesthetically it's quite different than the rest because it was a cribbed game from a different, I don't remember the name of the game that it was based on, but you know, it's a bit, it's different than all the other Mario games, obviously. And you know, Captain Toad kind of reminds you of some of those little things that it does. So like in this one, compared to the 3D World version, there are boss fights, which are kind of, you know, a boss fight built around the level and traversing the level. There are rail car levels where it puts you in like a first person shooter kind of thing where you're like, you're throwing turnips from your rail cart and you hold the gamepad and look around like a periscope, and you know, you aim using the gamepad not looking at the TV at all for those particular parts where you shoot the turnips at the enemies or at coins or POW blocks, these kinds of things. So it throws in some different stuff for you to do other than just the same, you know, making you feel like it's the same as you would have done in 3D World. And, you know, at 30% off, it was hard to deny getting it because Nintendo games, certainly Nintendo published games, aren't wanted to drop in price very often. So I decided I might as well take advantage of it. I had that hard drive and I got it. Now, the when you're playing the regular campaign of levels, of puzzles, you eventually unlock a secondary set, which are levels based on actual levels from 3D World. So like the first one that I got is actually like the 1-1 level of 3D World, and you know, rather than a self-contained like a diorama, like the levels normally are, it's more like here's the level, and now you can be Toad. Captain Toad, which is different than regular Toad, Captain Toad can walk around in it, and you know, Captain Toad, he doesn't jump and he doesn't pick up power ups like the cat suit or fireballs and stuff. The most you're gonna get is a mushroom that makes you, you know, because you do get that if you get touched by an enemy, you do turn into a smaller Captain Toad. So if you get the mushroom, you get to get big again, but you go through the whole level. So my only comment about that, about Captain Toad, is that I can understand why it was pretty easy to probably put together, because it's using a lot of the same art assets of 3D World, especially, you know, blatantly in these additional levels that I've got. But even in the regular one, it's stuff, you know, some of the stuff is straight out of 3D World in terms of how it looks, which is fine to reuse some of the assets, but it's, you know, you can just tell, you know, what they've done here. But it doesn't make the game any less fun or easy on the eyes. You just play the, you think about it a little bit. Now, my challenge at this point is that I'm currently on the hunt around town for a Toad amiibo, because with the Toad amiibo, unlike some games where like you swipe the amiibo and you basically only get a new character skin or pretty minimal stuff sometimes. With the Toad amiibo with this game, you actually unlock a separate mode of challenges, I believe. I haven't got it yet, so I can't tell you for sure, but you get some pretty hardy stuff by swiping your amiibo. I had a cough for a second. You know, on one hand, I'm looking for a Toad amiibo because I want these extra stuff, but then I start to realize that Captain Toad is a budget price game at $45 normally, and an amiibo is about $15 or $16, I believe, 13 or 15, and so when you add them together, you're 45 and you're 15, you're back to a $60 title to get the full content of the game. So you know, thinking about it that way is a little bit of a sneaky little thing they've done here to get you to have spent the full $60 that you thought you were getting away from. Maybe, I don't know, the little conspiracy theorist in me coming out there, but it's interesting to think that, you know, here I am happy that I saved, well, the sale notwithstanding, you know, a $45 title is pretty reasonable to me. But if you want to get what's on the rest of what's on the disc, because I don't think when you swipe you download these levels, I think you actually just unlock it on the disc. So, or in my case, my file on my hard drive. So, is it a little sneaky? Maybe, but, you know, more content is good, I guess.
Okay, so, Guitar Hero 5 got announced.
Well, I'm sorry to correct you right away, but Guitar Hero Live got announced. But 5 is what I bought on the cheapie from my cousin, and Juan and I have been playing it.
Oh, that's right. Five already exists.
Yeah, that was the last Guitar Hero game, I think. I think
more of the same. That's what I recall reading. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, more or less. There's some different ways that it scores and throws some challenges at you. Like, you know, every song has its own unique challenges, like so many drum beats in the song or how many times you activate star power, that kind of stuff. It's more or less more of the same. Yeah. It's, you know, it's nice that it picks up on all the DLC that I've gotten from other Guitar Hero games. But then again, collecting Guitar Hero DLC is not something that I really was keen on in the first place. Rock Band is where my money has been put for the most part, except for Guitar Hero Metallica and whatnot. But Guitar Hero 5 is pretty much more of the same. It came out in that time where Guitar Hero was putting out like a game every year. So there was Guitar Hero 4 followed by Warriors of Metal or something, and then 5 came out, and then there was something else like Band Hero. There was a bunch of stuff that came out in a row.
Which leads me to Guitar Hero Live. When you said 5, like I said, I play no rhythm games because I have none. I'm a white person. I'm a real, really, 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 really white person that tans easily. Figure it out on your own time. And then Rock Band 4. Seems to me the manufacturers of these games and the manufacturers of a couple consoles are hoping lightning strikes twice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. They're hoping to capture lightning in a bottle again, yeah, for sure.
Which tells me that for all these glowing and most likely talking out of their ass sales numbers, that things still aren't going as well as Sony and Microsoft would like us to believe. And it really feels like they're treading the same path as last generation. Maybe they will remake COD Modern Warfare 2 and put it only on the next-gen consoles. It dawned on me when I heard Guitar Hero Live, if I'd probably thought about it for 30 seconds, I'd have realized that people were saying live on my Twitter stream, but that's requires thinking. Come on, people, you know I don't do that. I don't see it being the same again, but you can't help but think, even if I'm completely wrong, and I'd be happy if I am completely wrong, that they're grasping at straws for software again.
It could be a little of that, you know. I mean, there's been a break in rhythm game releases like these, but it's not the break I thought there was going to be. I thought maybe like this is what year two of this generation. I figured you might see it come back in year four, maybe. This seems pretty quick, so there might be some credence to what you're getting at.
Again, it's speculation. That's what
sure.
we fork and do. That's but what we did, yeah. it's plausible and reasonable speculation. I was like you. I figured they'd come back, but they would come back tail end, actually, if I'm going to be 100% blunt. I figured the pining would have to get really, really high levels by hardcore fans before they put it back out.
Mm-hmm.
But it tells me, I mean, there's also another Tony Hawk game coming out, which is like, I mean, if it's good, fine, but I'd rather have Skate 4, honestly. The physics were 10 times better and more realistic in Skate than they ever were in Tony Hawk. I don't give a shit about either if they're not coming to PC, which there's been no rumors about a new Skate game. Let me get that out there, sorry. You know, I wouldn't give a shit about Skate 4 or this new Tony Hawk game if they're not coming to PC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I see people who claim that they weren't going to wait until the beta testing period was over with new consoles falling by the wayside more and more. But I still don't see the Xbox One or the PS4 as a value.
No. No, I can't see myself making the Switch just for a rhythm game.
Yeah.
As much as I love rhythm games, it's not... I'm not ready to pony up a system and then buy all the additional gear just yet.
Well, and you'll probably switch long before I will if I ever do, because I'm not only willing to tinker more in PC, that's also where my background is.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in a really comfortable place. And honestly, I've bought two games in the last 2 years, or let's say since the Xbox One and PS4 have come out, that have come close to making it so my machine can't run it. That's only two. And those two still ran at pretty decent settings. Good enough that it looked pretty and it was playable. So, you know, I just, as long as certain ones are still coming to PC, I'm okay with that. Because the multiplayer scene, honestly, I don't know, it's debatable. I like playing with Pat. I honestly do. And Glaze, but Pat was more the first person I played with. Mm-hmm. And he and I's styles contrast in a way that it's fun to play with him. And so, and I have no problem with just following his lead, because I've said it before and I'll say it again, he's a much better first-person shooter player than I am. And so, you know, that might intrigue me, but Pat's got his life and his own things, which, cool. You know, so it's just, there's just really been no siren call to go back to console. And honestly, right now, unless something changed, I'd probably get a PS4, because that's where Agent K spends most of his time when he's playing console. It has zero to do with, I was showing he's better than Microsoft, wink, wink, say no more. It has to do with, that's where the dude who I spend 90% of my time gaming with anyway, mm-hmm. is playing. You know? I mean, honestly, it probably hurt my pride a little bit, but who hasn't had to swallow their pride before? Not very many people. And even the people that tell you they haven't are usually lying out their ass. You know, I've spent a lot of years bashing on Sony, and most of the time, rightfully so. And I don't care if there's fun to be had, then I'll have it. But even he spends, I'd say, 80% of his time on PC. Most of the console games he's playing, he plays with his girlfriend, like Bloodborne. You know, they did a co-op of Bloodborne together on PS4. That's, and GTA.
I didn't know there was a co-op in Bloodborne.
Maybe I'm crazy. I thought there was co-op in Bloodborne. I thought they were playing together. Let's check.
I don't know. It sounds great if it is, though.
I don't remember if they... I could have swore he said... I could have sworn he said that there was... let's see. Online Bloodborne Wiki. That's ought to be good. Bloodborne Online Cooperative Play. Finding online players. PvP play. Yeah.
There you go.
I double checked. I wasn't necessarily doubting myself, but he and I talk about a metric ton of games, some that aren't out, some that he's playing mods with. Like, he's been playing Skyrim over via LAN with her from a mod. Mm-hmm. They've just been playing as werewolves and killing everybody that's not a werewolf and basically making Skyrim a ghost town the entire map. Let's put it this way. It's a good thing those two are on our side. And you have my word, they're on your side as well as mine. Anybody that's on my side or friendly with me is safe from Tiny Terror and Kay. But anyway, you know, and so, again, I think they're both fine consoles, too. That's the other probably important thing to say. It has nothing to do with either console. It just doesn't make sense dollars and cents-wise. I know I said cents there twice, but it fit. And this rhythm game thing, it just, like I said, it's just, it makes that little voice in the back of your head start, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
I mean, E3 will tell us. I'm expecting at E3 there's going to be some games announced that will get released this year because so many got pushed into 2016. Or the trend's going to continue and games will be announced with no release date. And because they have so many games pushed back into 2016, they're just going to keep the cycle going. Where they'll announce a bunch of games for 2016, and it's like, well, we haven't quite finished that one yet. Let's push it to 2017. And this will be the console generation of giant lulls that never quite catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else on the rhythm game? I mean, you want to play them at some point, I'm guessing, but you're not in a headlong rush to play them yet.
Yeah, I mean, and based on what I've heard about them, you know, Rock Band 4 is going to be more Rock Band, you know, a little more stripped down. They're taking away all the expert stuff, like expert, but the pro modes, like the stuff that's trying to bring it to the next level, like beyond expert. They're taking that away and making Rock Band 4 a core, you know, experience to have in your living room. With a bunch of people with having a few beer kind of thing, which sounds terrific, but that's not something that I can't do already with Rock Band 3 with my current console. You know what I mean? Like if I only had an Xbox One, it might be something that I would look into. But right now I'm pretty good with what I got for a while, so maybe they're kind of banking on the people who have already gotten rid of their instruments that are, you know, unlike my little corner of, you know, a guitar, a bass, a keyboard, and a set of drums, and with two kick pedals and cymbals on their drums. You know, maybe I'm not the people who are going to buy Rock Band 4 because I've already got all. I mean, I that being said, apparently I can use all that stuff on the new one. Not the keyboard, I don't think, but my drums and my other guitars will work on Rock Band 4. But the, like, it's not like to pay $400 for a system and then buy the game, it's still not quite there yet. Especially when all, depending on, you know, the promises of having all your DLC from your other console working on this one, we'll see if that comes true. I really hope it does for them, but you know, we'll see. But Guitar Hero Live, I don't even think it's the full band experience. I think they've culled it down to just the guitar again, and the guitar itself is also a different animal. It's rather than the five colored buttons going across, they've got three, you know, there's three buttons, or I should say three buttons going from left to right, but there's two sets of three, one on top of the other. So, you know, rather than extending your pinky out for that fifth button, you're doing a few more like chords. The opportunity to be able to do chords is there a little bit more, and not so much that it's an attempt to teach you guitar, but more just a different way to play. Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? I don't know. I'd have to try it and see. From what I've seen online of it, it's a little bit of a learning curve, because especially if you're used to the five button setup. But it's, you know, it's an interesting way to change it up, I guess. It's surprising to me that they would deviate from the, you know, what people associate rhythm games as being. But then again, maybe they feel that's what's needed to mix it up and make it a little bit fresher again, is to make it not so same as it used to be. I remember when we first bought Guitar Hero 1 and 2, Wanda and I, like, we were playing that a lot to try and get good enough to beat our scores and get the 5 stars on the various difficulties. Like, we would have to play a song, several times just to try to get 5 stars. And now it's just, you know, I pop in Rock Band 3 when I bought it, and I blew through the single player, you know, just the guitar campaign in no time, to coin a phrase from earlier. Just because, you know, on expert, getting 4 and 5 stars and almost all the songs except for the most difficult ones. And so maybe it's a good thing that they've changed it up a little bit. I don't know. It'd be interesting to give it a shot. Maybe, hopefully there'll be a demo kiosk somewhere that I can give it a go.
Yeah, I think changing it up some will be great. I think they just got to balance it, because people always tell you what they want different until they get it, and then they want more of the same. They want it patched down to be more of the same. I think someone like you who actually plays a musical instrument would probably find the setup that they're showing off for both games more interesting than someone who's just wants to play video games. Mm-hmm. But it's debatable. Like I said, hopefully there's a demo kiosk. I don't think the gaming industry has ever gotten the fact that when people are playing couch co-op, 90% of the time it's adults, or let's say people over the age of 21 or just slightly below that. and they're there to have a good time and have fun with friends. And the game is just part of that. You know, you don't really care if you win or lose. You don't really care if you complete so many of this, so many of that. What that leads to, at least in the cases I've experienced, is the same game or a system from 5-7 years ago fits in perfectly in a party setting. You don't need the latest and greatest. Mm-hmm. Which just kind of ties in with your point of people who've kept their instruments and playing with their friends on the odd occasion are probably going to keep doing that as long as the console that it's tied to keeps working, you know? Okay, so last thing tonight, and I'm not sure how much you're going to have to say about this, John, but I couldn't pass this topic up. So I thought I would talk about it now because it's ridiculous to a point. Game mods can now be sold on Steam Workshop for real money, is the headlines from Gamasutra. Valve is updating Steam today to allow users to charge real money for game mods on the Steam Workshop, starting with Skyrim, rolling out to other games contingent on the approval of their developers/publishers in the weeks ahead. This opens up more revenues for budding and established game developers to get paid for their work, as former SimCity artist Brian Shannon is by creating Cities Skyline mods, and furthers Valve's long-standing aim of democratizing content creation for games on its platform. I'm not stopping there. I was going to stop partway through this article, but I'm going to go a little further, so bear with me. A Valve representative responded to Gamasutra's request for clarification on revenue splits by highlighting the Skyrim Steam Workshop page, which notes that all revenues from sales of Skyrim Steam Workshop content will be split between Valve, Bethesda, and the content creators. People who sell Skyrim content on the workshop get a 25% cut of the revenue, but it seems that the amount a content creator receives is ultimately up to the game's publisher or developer. New supplemental terms for the Steam Workshop for the Steam Workshop legal agreement state that the percentage of adjusted gross that content creators are entitled to receive will be determined by the developer publisher of the application for which they've created content. Okay, first off, there's some people down in the comments talking about how EA and Activision want 60% of the gross and yada. There was no other way to monetize this, kids. You people that think things shouldn't cost money. There was no other way to monetize this. You had to bring in the publishers and developers. That said, here's one problem that's going to come into play. I want to use a guy's comment. Ah, here it is. That's a big part of why fan modding works is because when it's free, there are significantly fewer legal issues. You really think Warner Brothers is going to let you play as Batman in Skyrim when money is involved? Anyone remember the Macho Man dragons? Kiss that goodbye. That it is a valid point. I stopped reading because he devolved into derp a derp standard Reddit user. Basically bashing big companies. And that makes this a stupid move on Valve's part, number one. Okay, so I'll finish the article. Presumably, content creators work out the details of the revenue split when given their payment information to Valve, at which point they can choose to set prices for their mods or allow the patrons to pay what they want. They can also choose to send a portion of the revenue to a Valve-approved user community like the Nexus Mod hosting platform. Valve is also offering a 24-hour refund policy on all Steam Workshop mod purchases as it continues to incentivize user-generated content commerce, having earlier this year allowed Steam Workshop users to charge money for in-game items, but not mods at large. Yeah, that 24-hour thing is going to have to become a permanent refund. Here's why this is a bad idea. It has nothing to do with giant evil corporations. It has nothing to do with not wanting to give modders money. I have played modded games pretty heavily for the last 2 years, including Skyrim mods on the Steam Workshop. And not a single fucking one of them worked without tinkering, worked without me having to do extra stuff. modifying files, deleting this, deleting that. I'm not paying for that fucking shit. If modders want to put out a professional product that has an installer that works the first time I fire it up, then I'll pay for it. But I can tell you, not a single Skyrim mod I added did not require me to do something other than hit subscribe on Steam's Workshop. I'm not paying you clowns for that. That's why it's called a mod, not a game. And so, while I think the idea of modders getting some money is a good concept, you can't put the cart before the horse. And that's what other people in the comments are trying to do. Oh, well, if modders get money, they'll make more professional work. No, that's not how it works, Sparky. That ain't how it works. Make a fucking professional product, and then you get paid. And the problem is, I'm saying that as a concept. It's a correct concept as far as I'm concerned, but all you gotta do is look at Steam Early Access and Steam Greenlight and see that ain't fucking true. And at least when I buy a broken Early Access game, it's technically a full game and might get updated. You know, because modders are notorious for not finishing mods or just one day deciding they've had enough of it. The modders as a whole are a great community, and they're what makes PC gaming awesome, but monetizing them now. And on top of that, okay, so they're going to make this possible on Steam Workshop. So let's say a Skyrim EMB, which basically makes it photorealistic, makes it ENB. I think it's ENB, my apologies. Makes it photorealistic, makes it really great. They even ran on my machine. Made Skyrim just awesome. Okay, let's say they start charging for that on Steam, right? You know what's going to happen? Same thing's going to happen to the modders that happens to EA, Activision, and all the other companies you people love to hate. It's going to get swiped, and it's going to get put on a fucking torrent where I can get it for free. Have a nice day. Mm-hmm. Steam does not have modders' best interests at heart here. Sorry. I would speculate that this had more to do with the evil corporations, and this is one point where I agree with the proletariat, or proletariat, however you say that, the communists, that it was probably publishers whispering in their ear because, you know, that used game sales and everything else is bad, you know? And again, there's a massive difference between modifying a game to do what you want and making a game. Believe me. I'm dead serious, John. I could think off the top of my head. Let's see, Breaking Point was one, although their installer servers were so crappy it takes like 10 days to freaking install the stupid thing. Breaking Point, which was a zombie mod for Arma 3, and a couple that came with that Nexus mod manager that they were talking about, are literally the only ones where I did not have to tinker with any mods in the last couple of years. Everything else, you have to do something. Mm-hmm. Would you pay for that?
No.
Yeah, see, somebody that doesn't even play modding.
I don't buy that many PC games because I don't want to even tweak at all. Let alone something that is going to make me mod. For sure, you know what I mean?
Well, none of this is something you have to do. Yeah. And there's very few PC games on Steam, like if you stay out of early access, that you know, you could be a PC gamer and not have to do the tinkering and the stuff that Agent K and I do. I should make that extremely clear. I don't think you misunderstand, but that, while on one hand, that's probably the average PC gamer's life, it's one thing that tends to keep people away from PC gaming. The minimum amount of stuff you have to do to just play games on PC, if you've got a, you know, a above average or an average to a top line rig, is changing settings and maybe downloading drivers for your video card. It's when you get into early access stuff or modded stuff, it really starts to become like Agent K. Agent K and I aren't good examples of how you could just get into PC gaming and play if you so desired. You know? Mm-hmm. Especially with Steam. But, well, that's the other thing. Like, the Skyrim stuff, that's the other problem, is they need to make it all in one. Like, half the mods that, or half the stuff that I downloaded or that I subscribed to on the Steam Workshop, I had to go get the Nexus Mod Manager and some other mod to even make it work. It's not like I can't just go to Steam's Workshop and I'm done. Mm-hmm. It works the same way with Arma 3. There's a lot of stuff where you got to go get this mod at, you know, Armaholic, and then you got to go get this mod. And it's like, yeah, what am I paying for here again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would suspect that you will see this not, will just die quietly. There will be no funeral, there will be no news stories, but I know that a lot of Steam Early Access and Steam Greenlight games argue against me, but it really is a bad idea to give modders the idea that they can make money, because it's not going to give them incentive to make better mods. It's going to give them incentive to throw crap out the door and hope for the best. And again, like I said 5 minutes ago, I'll still be able to get them for free. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing. I mean, pirating's pirating. You know, if it works for full games, guess what?
Yeah,
probably works for mods pretty well, too. And again, if you don't have a horde of lawyers on speed dial, how are you going to stop them?
Yeah.
Other than cry, I'm an indie developer, don't do that to me, go do it to EA. Which does have a reasonable success rate. So, anything else?
That's for me, man.
We should never underestimate you and I as a pair's power of bullshitting. We pretty much got a full show.
Oh, yes.
Which is absolutely 100% fine, but that's it for this one. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we have a bunch of ways you can do that. First off, Facebook, shoot us a friend request. You can message John or post on the wall that you heard John's phone and he owes you beer. We have a website. It's wonderpodonline.com, wonderpodonline.com. Right now, it's mostly my YouTube videos, Pat's YouTube videos, and the podcast. But the thing is, when I post the podcast there, I post an embedded player. Also, on weeks like this, when I told you about the movie Killer Legends, I'll post the name of it there, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one with a crappy memory about some things. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPodOnline. Let's see, what else do we have? We have a YouTube channel. That's WonderPodOnline. My YouTube channel, Bruce McGee YouTube channel. Olivia Made, this is YouTube channel. Then you can go to her charming boyfriend, Chris Lloyd's YouTube channel, that I still don't know the name of. I'm going to keep this joke going until it's friggin' ridden 4 foot under the ground. Glacinator's got a YouTube channel, the 36 Wii YouTube channel. That's Patman Incognito. Seems like I'm forgetting something. Oh, yeah, we're on iTunes. I knew it. I knew I got one out of order. We're on iTunes. Just search WonderPod. If you don't like iTunes, we're archive.org, which is a great place to get our entire catalog, because iTunes lops stuff off after a while. If none of that works for you, we have an email address. It's wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter
at John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
Yeah, I got through it clean this week. Until episode 252, when I think it'll be back to three of us. I'm out of here. See you, people.
Cheers.